Welcome to the deep dive. Our task today, well, it's tackling one of those really, really frustrating modern problems. You know the one. You've got this expensive smartphone, perfectly good hardware, but it's basically useless, a brick, because it's landed on a carrier's global blacklist. We're talking about that awful feeling, finding your lost phone, maybe weeks later, only to be told by your own provider, nope, sorry, you can't use it anymore.
Yeah, that exact mix of relief and digital despair is what we're digging into today. Our mission, if you will, is to investigate these super strict, almost ironclad rules around device blacklisting. Why do major carriers, and our sources point particularly to T-Mobile here, refuse to reverse that status? And then the really interesting part, these third-party services that claim, hey, we can get your phone off that list. We want to pull back the curtain on them.
Okay, but first things first. We can't dive in without getting some terms straight. Jargon check time. We need to talk about the IMEI.
Right. IMEI. It stands for International Mobile Equipment Identity. Think of it like your phone's unique serial number or its digital fingerprint, usually 15 digits long, standard across the globe. You can typically find it pretty easily. Dial *#06#, #06#, or check in your phone's settings menu. Sometimes it's on the original box, too. It's the key identifier networks use.
And when that specific IMEI gets blacklisted, what does that mean?
It means that unique number has been flagged. It's put on a special list, a huge global database, actually, and the consequence. The device is barred from connecting to any cellular network, anywhere. You simply cannot activate it with any wireless carrier.
And here's the core issue, the thing that really drives this whole situation. Our sources are saying T-Mobile has this incredibly rigid policy. If you report your phone lost or stolen, which happens all the time, right? People find lost stuff. T-Mobile will not take that phone off the list, ever. It's like a permanent network ban, even for the original owner.
Exactly. Now, to be fair, when a carrier like T-Mobile first blacklists a device, the intention is good. It's meant to be protective. It stops someone else from using your phone, protects you from unexpected charges if it was stolen, and yeah, it makes the phone pretty much worthless to a thief because they can't use it on a network. That's the idea.
So the primary goal is anti-theft, anti-fraud. Makes sense. But it's not just theft that gets a phone on this list, is it?
Oh, absolutely not. Reporting it lost or stolen is probably the most common reason, sure, either by you or maybe your insurance company if you filed a claim. But phones also get blacklisted if they're linked to confirmed fraud. Or, and this happens a lot, if the original owner broke their contract terms. Usually that means not paying the bills for the phone or the service plan over time.
Okay, so whatever the reason, lost, stolen, fraud, unpaid bills, the result is the same. Your phone can't connect to a cell tower. You can still use Wi-Fi, right? Like for listening to music or watching videos.
Yeah, Wi-Fi activities are fine. Streaming, gaming, browsing, anything that doesn't need a cellular signal, that all still works. Mm. But the moment it needs to talk to a cell tower for data or calls or texts, nothing. It's blocked.
And that brings us right back to this T-Mobile policy, which honestly feels like it creates the very market for these workaround services. When T-Mobile gets that lost, stolen report, they add the IMEI to this thing called the GSMA Global Database.
Right, the GSMA. Think of it as the central command center for mobile operators worldwide. Represents something like, what, 119 operators in over 40 countries. It's the shared international list designed to stop stolen phones from being used across borders. So T-Mobile adds the IMEI there. Now your service line might just be suspended, and get this, you might still be getting billed for the monthly plan.
Wait, really? You could be paying for a service you can't even use on that phone?
Sometimes, yeah. The line suspension is separate from the device blacklist. But the key point is, the device itself, it's permanently added to that global blacklist by T-Mobile.
Permanently. That's just, wow. That's the crucial bit for you, the listener, to grasp. The carrier's own policy makes your own recovered device unusable on any network. Forever. Why, though? Why be so rigid? Why can't they just have a process? You show up with ID, the phone, proof of purchase. Why not just undo it?
Well, the carriers would likely point to potential fraud and the sheer hassle, the administrative cost. Once a device is officially marked as stolen, making it easy to reverse that status could open the door to, say, insurance scams, or maybe thieves trying to quickly clean a phone. It seems T-Mobile, and likely other carriers too, prioritize the overall integrity of this global anti-theft system over individual customer convenience in these edge cases. They probably see the cost of verification, the risk of mistakes, the liability if they unbar a genuinely stolen phone. It's just easier and safer for them to say no. a blanket policy.
Okay, so the official door is slammed shut. And like you said, that creates an opening, doesn't it? A market failure, which leads us straight to these third-party unbarring services.
Exactly. And you'll see a bunch of different terms thrown around online. Blacklist removal, IMEI cleaning, sometimes bad ESN repair, or unbarring, arguably. They all basically mean the same thing. Trying to change the status of that unique IMEI number in the database from blacklisted, sometimes called a bad ESN, back to clean or clear, getting it onto the whitelist, essentially.
And they make some pretty bold claims about what they can do. They say they support all sorts of devices, iPhones, Androids, tablets, even watches or mobile hotspots. Basically, if it has an IMEI, they claim they can tackle it. And here's a big one. They often boast like a 99% success rate, specifically for phones blacklisted because they were reported lost or stolen.
Yeah, that 99% figure, you have to wonder, right? Especially when you're talking about potentially getting around a global security system like the GSMA database. Sounds a bit like marketing spin. But what is interesting is how broad they claim their services. They say they can fix devices even if you didn't originally buy them from T-Mobile. Maybe you bought an unlocked phone, used it on T-Mobile, then it got blacklisted. They claim they can handle that too, which suggests they're targeting the central system, the GSMA list, not just trying to tweak something inside T-Mobile's local records.
Okay, let's push on that. The technology, this is the really puzzling part. Mm-hmm. If this GSMA database is this massive international wall built by all the major carriers to stop phone theft, how on earth are these third parties claiming they can just stroll in and, you know, erase an entry? What are our sources suggesting is actually going on? How could this even work?
Well, they're usually pretty vague, hiding behind phrases like proprietary technology or cutting-edge innovative unbarring technology. They might mention having access to carrier servers or even the GSMA blacklist servers directly.
Yeah.
But if you try to read between the lines, I mean, it's unlikely they're just hacking in brute force style. That would be incredibly difficult and risky. What seems more plausible is they've found some kind of systemic loophole or vulnerability. Maybe it's an exploit in an API, you know, how different computer systems talk to each other, how carrier systems update the main GSMA database. Or, and this is a bit more concerning from a security standpoint, maybe they've somehow obtained legitimate credentials, perhaps through an insider, maybe at a smaller carrier partner, someone who has the authority to make those database updates.
Wow. Okay, that's actually quite unsettling. If that's true, they're not just helping individuals, they're potentially undermining the entire global system meant to deter theft. And the claims get even bolder, don't they? They suggest the removal is so clean.
Yeah, they claim the process is so effective that if someone were to check the device's status afterwards, say internally at the carrier, it would actually look like the original carrier made the change. It might apparently log as removed by T-Mobile, even though it was this third-party service that initiated the action.
So they're essentially covering their tracks within the system, spoofing the update log.
That seems to be the implication. If they can make the change look legitimate, originating from the carrier itself, then automated system checks are less likely to flag it and re-blacklist the device later. It's a kind of digital camouflage.
All right, let's shift to the fine print, because this is where it gets really critical for anyone considering this route. The big question for many is this legal?
Well, the services themselves are very quick to say yes. They often state clearly that removing the device from the blacklist is 100% legal. They argue they're just restoring functionality to property that you, the owner, already legally possess. They also usually claim it doesn't void the warranty or carry any penalties. The legal gray area, though, isn't necessarily the outcome getting your phone working again, but the method. How they're actually accessing and altering that supposedly secure database. That's where the questions lie.
And technically what happens? They don't change the IMEI number itself, do they?
No, absolutely not. The IMEI is hard-coded into the device hardware. They are changing the status associated with that IMEI in the database from blacklisted to clean. And they claim the status change is so thorough that, theoretically, you could even take the phone into a T-Mobile store for a trade-in, the rep would check the IMEI, and it would just show up as clean. No history of being blacklisted visible.
Okay. But what about checking it yourself? I've heard sometimes people use these services and then check online, and it still shows as blacklisted.
Right. That's a common point of confusion, the data lag. Huh. Many third-party websites offer free IMEI checks. But these sites often only update their databases by pulling data from the official sources, like the GSMA or the carriers, maybe only once a month. So even after the service successfully cleans the IMEI in the real-time official database, these third-party check sites might still show the old blacklisted status for, say, 2 to 4 weeks, until they do their next big data refresh. The official status is clean, but the public checkers are behind.
Got it. Now, probably the most important caveat of all, the money side. Let's talk about phones that are still being paid off, these equipment installation plans, or EIPs.
Yes, this is absolutely crucial. EIP just means you're financing the phone, paying it off in monthly installments. It's like a mini loan for the device. These third-party services often say they can unbar a device that's under an EIP. They can make it usable on the network again.
There's always a but.
The huge but is this. The service does not wipe away the debt. It does not clear the money you still owe T-Mobile, or whoever, for that phone or for the service contract. All they are doing is changing the blacklist status of the IMEI. The financial obligation, the debt you owe, that remains completely untouched.
So you could pay this third party to clean your IMEI, get the phone working on the network again, but you still owe T-Mobile hundreds of dollars.
Precisely. And this is critical. If the phone was blacklisted because of non-payment in the first place, the service guarantee might not even fully apply. Even if the third party successfully gets the IMEI status changed to clean in the GSMA database, T-Mobile's internal billing system will still show that account has unpaid bills. And T-Mobile will likely refuse to actually provide service to that line or device until the outstanding balance is paid off. The IMEI might be clean, but the account is still flagged for debt. The debt follows you, the account holder, not just the phone status.
That makes total sense. So the third party fixes the database issue, but not the billing issue. Okay. Once a phone is successfully cleaned using one of these services, is there a chance it could just get blacklisted again automatically?
According to the sources, generally no, not automatically. Once it's marked as clean, it should stay clean. Unless the user does something new to trigger a blacklisting, like if you reported it lost or stolen again, or, crucially, if you stop making payments on that EIP debt you still owe. That could definitely trigger a re-blacklisting for non-payment. But the system doesn't just flip back on its own.
Okay, one last technical point to clarify. Getting a phone unbarred is not the same as getting it unlocked, right?
Exactly. Totally separate issues. Let's say you had an iPhone that was locked to T-Mobile's network. It then got blacklisted. If you use an unbarring service, it makes the phone usable again, but only on T-Mobile. It's still network locked. If you wanted to take that phone and use it on, say, AT&T or Verizon or overseas, you would need to also perform a separate network SIM unlock service, assuming the phone is eligible for unlocking based on T-Mobile's policies, like being fully paid off. Unbarring just removes the blacklist block. Unlocking removes the carrier network restriction. Two different things.
So wrapping this all up, what we're seeing is a really interesting, maybe even inevitable, consequence of these very strict carrier policies. T-Mobile's refusal, for instance, to undo a blacklisting, even for the legitimate owner who found their device, essentially creates this gray market demand. And third parties step in, claiming they can navigate or even manipulate the global anti-theft system that the carriers themselves built.
Right. The key takeaway for you, the listener, is that while these services might offer a way to restore your device's basic network function, especially if it was just lost and found, you're still on the hook for any money owed. It's a complex situation with both technical and financial risks you need to weigh.
And ultimately, the very existence and apparent success, at least sometimes, of these third-party unbarring services leaves us with a pretty big question, doesn't it? A kind of provocative thought about the whole setup.
It really does. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. The GSMA IMEI blacklist database is supposed to be this central, secure, global defense against phone theft, agreed upon by major carriers worldwide. The fact that unaffiliated third parties claim they can access this system and effectively reverse entries, potentially without the original carrier even knowing who did it. Well, that raises some serious questions. If these independent operators can actually alter this supposedly secure international database, what does that truly say about the integrity, the reliability, maybe even the fundamental security of the entire global IMEI tracking system? Is this system designed to combat theft on a massive scale, perhaps not quite as bulletproof as we're led to believe?
Something definitely worth thinking about the next time you pick up your smartphone. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We'll catch you on the next one.